From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch, where we normally bring you the latest insights, analysis, and interviews on the most pressing political and cultural issues facing you and your family. But today, on this Good Friday, the day when we remember the crucifixion of Jesus on the cross for the sins of all mankind, and we look ahead to Resurrection Sunday, well, I have a special program for you today. Last weekend, Family Research Council held a Stand Courageous Men's Conference at Liquid Church in Parsippany, New Jersey. That's just outside of New York City. And I have to tell you, it was an incredible event. We saw the Lord move in mighty ways with dozens of men making decisions to give their lives to Jesus Christ. It was so encouraging. We designed the Stand Courageous events to help men develop a strong biblical character, to cultivate positive truths built on positive habits, built on biblical truths, to build and rebuild relationships and make commitments that will move them closer to God's purpose and design for their lives. Just take a look around your community and you see it. We need men. We need men who will stand courageous and lead their families. Well, FRC's General Executive Vice President, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, has a heart for men's ministry, and he's a point man at our Stand Courageous events. And General Boykin was one of the original members of the U.S. Army's Delta Force. He spent the last 4 years of his 36-and-a-half-year military career serving as the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. And last weekend, he shared his testimony, and it was powerful. And on this Good Friday, I'd like to share it with you. Let's listen as General Boykin speaks to the men at Stand Courageous.
I was, in 1978, I was an instructor at the Florida Ranger Camp, and a guy called me one day from the Army Personnel Center. He said, "Captain Boykin," he said, "I want to ask you to volunteer for a secret unit that's being formed at Fort Bragg. I can't tell you anything about it. It's very secretive, but what I will tell you is that we're going to bring you up here if you agree, and we're going to put you through a 30-day trial to see if you can make it in this unit, and if you do, we're going to ask you to accept an assignment to this this place." And so I did, you know, kind of, I thought, well, I don't know about this or not. This is not exactly what I want to do the rest of my life. And the guy says, "Now, if you make it, we're going to ask you to accept an assignment here." And they said, "And we need your answer in 1 hour." Well, I did what every man did. I mean, I got an hour to make a decision like that. And so what I did was I called my mother. And don't tell me you don't call your mother. I called my mother. My mother's a praying woman. She prayed with me on the phone, and she said, "Son, I'll be praying while you're gone." I got in my vehicle, and the next week I went up to Fort Bragg. They took us up into the mountains. They issued us a bunch of equipment, and then they took us out into those mountains, snow everywhere. Each man by himself with very heavy loads, each man by himself with nothing but a map. And we walked through those mountains for 30 days. And I will tell you that at the end of that 30 days, we actually did 40 miles. The last walk we made was 40 miles, each man by himself. I finished it in 11 hours and 27 minutes. I was the first one finished. And they brought us back to Fort Bragg, and a psychologist came in. And any psychologist in here? Okay. Because I definitely want to lay hands on you. But this psychologist came in, gave us this battery of tests and everything known to man. And then he took us into his little office there, and he gave us kind of an interview. Well, when I walked in his office, the first thing he said was, as I was sitting down, he said, "Captain Boykin," he said, "I'm going to recommend against you being part of this new Delta Force." And I said, "Why? Why?" He said, "Because you rely too much on your faith." And I thought, "And you rely on your nose to breathe, and I'm going to break it for you." I'm a little more sanctified now. But that was a Friday afternoon. I knew that on Monday morning I would sit before the board that would determine whether they wanted me or not. So I got in my car and I went down to Eastern North Carolina to see my mom and dad. First time I'd seen them in those 30 days. And I said to my mom, I said, Mom, what's the Lord showing you? What is God showing you, Mom? And she looked at me with a pained look on her face, and she, like she didn't want to tell me. I said, Mom, what's the Lord showing you? Because God shows her, revealed things to her when she was alive. And she said, Son, I don't know what it means, but Satan is gathering his forces. Now you say, Satan. Yeah, Satan's real. This Bible tells you about Satan. And it says that he is like a roaring lion walking about searching for who he might devour. Satan is real. And we got to make sure we keep that in mind and understand that, because these kids today, they're getting involved in these games that are right out of the pits of hell. And what we've got to do is we've got to try to put a stop to that. At any rate, so I went back to Fort Bragg, and I had been to church the day before in the little old church that I grew up in. It was a little wooden pew church that seated less than 100 people. And I got down on my knees and prayed, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, Satan is gathering his forces. Satan is gathering his forces, Lord. And I heard the audible voice of the Lord. You say, audible? Well, to me, it was an audible voice. It's only two times in my life I've ever heard this audible voice. But as I was praying, saying, Satan's gathering forces, I heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, yes, son, but so am I. And I knew I was supposed to go back. I was supposed to go back and be part of this new unit. So I went back to Fort Bragg, and next morning I sat in this chair, facing about seven or eight other chairs with the staff of the Delta Force sitting in that, especially the old colonel that was the commander that actually created the Delta Force. And he was a guy named Charlie Beckwith. He was a notorious Green Beret. He had been shot in the belly and with a .50 caliber in Vietnam, and he survived it. And he was legendary. He was a hard-drinking, hard-cursing, hard-living guy, big old football player from Georgia. And he was sitting right in the center, and they were bombarding me with questions, and there were no right or wrong answers. They just wanted to see what I was made of. And finally, old Charlie Beckwith, the commander, the guy on the screen back there, he looked up at everybody, and he said, okay, everybody stop. Everybody stop. He looked at me, and he said, Captain Borgen, he said, you're a pretty religious fella, ain't you? I thought, I'm going to hook that psychologist when I get to him. But I knew what he was asking. I'm not religious. I am not religious. I really am not. I love Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. But I'm not religious. Because there develops this thing called a religious spirit. And I grew up around people with a religious spirit where everything was a sin. You didn't have to worry about what sin was. Everything was a sin. If it looked good, smelled good, tasted good. And finally, some old woman said, I'll tell you what. Remember, I'm from North Carolina. I'll tell you what. I think that football's a sin. I was going to Virginia Tech on a football scholarship, and what she was telling me was, you better give that up because you're sinning. And I thought, well, I'm just going to hell then. I did. That's the way I think. At any rate, old Charlie Becker looked up and said, well, we'd be glad to have you in the Delta Force. And I said, I thought, I knew that yesterday, bud. Yeah. But let me tell you something. For the next 2 years, that old man treated me with absolute contempt. Contempt. And I couldn't understand why. It was like he hated me. It's like he treated everybody better than me, all his officers at any rate, better than he did me. And then I couldn't understand it. But you know what? I finally figured it out. And that was the fact that I said I was a Christian, and he wanted to see if I really was. And when you say you're a Christian, you better understand people are watching you, because they're not just trying to catch you in something. They're hoping that you are the real deal, because the world needs people like that. So he was treating me with absolute contempt, and until the night of the 23rd of April, 1980. We were staged in a Russian MiG base in Wadi Kenya, Egypt, getting ready to go into Tehran, Iran, and try to rescue 52 Americans that were being held by the followers of the Ayatollah Khomeini. He came up to me and he said, "Jerry, before we launch this operation tomorrow, would you get these men together? Would you pray? Would you ask God to go with us?" And that's when I realized I had passed his test. Whatever that test was, I'd passed his test. The next morning, I stood up on that platform there, and yeah, we've got beards and civilian clothes. It was Ramadan, and we were trying to reduce our profile, so if we had to escape and evade, we would have a better chance if we didn't look like American soldiers. But I stood there and prayed. We read from Isaiah 6:8. "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And said I, 'Here am I, send me, send me, send me.'" Yeah. And then I began to pray and said, "God, in the name of Jesus, go with us. Lord, keep your hands upon us and bring us home, Lord. Bring us home to our families in Jesus' name." And then we sang "God Bless America" in that hangar there, right there in that old Russian MiG base. We sang "God Bless America." We launched that operation that night. We landed about 100 miles from Tehran out in the desert. We landed in C-130s, and we brought RH-53, big Jolly Green Giants, in with fuel inside them and hoses. And we pulled the helicopters up behind them, and we started refueling, and we got them all refueled. And then all of a sudden, one of the helicopter pilots decided he was going to reposition, and he pulled it up. And just as he came up, he went vertigo. The dust and the dark and the sand and everything, he just went vertigo and he couldn't hold it. He didn't know which way was up. And he crashed right on top of that C-130. That's the burning wreckage. And I was about from here to the corner of that wall right there from it, walking towards it when it exploded, and I thought it was somebody fired artillery at us, and I turned and started to run, and I felt the still small voice of the Holy Spirit saying, "Stop, stop." And I stopped and I turned and shielded myself, and then I realized 45 of the Delta Force men were inside that burning C-130. And there was no way to get them out. We couldn't get them out. But I went back to my source. As I stood there like this, I prayed a 10-second prayer. "Father, in the name of Jesus, these men trusted you. I'm asking you to bring them out alive in Jesus' name." You know what? Your prayers that are prayed from the depths of your heart, that are prayed with sincerity, are far more effective than prayers that are prayed for the people around you to hear. God knows your heart. But those men came jumping out of that aircraft, out across the desert floor. I saw a miracle.
Stick with us. We're going to continue listening to Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin when we return.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
I'm Tony Perkins, and I have a prediction. This year, there will be uncertainty and continued political and cultural division. Okay, so that's not that startling of a prediction, but try this. We can have peace and even joy amid the chaos. Jesus said in John 15, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Jesus told us there would be days like this so that our eyes would be upon him and his promises rather than our circumstances. Now, how can we keep our eyes on Jesus? Abide in him by being in his word. At Family Research Council, we want to help you do that, which is the reason for the Stand on the Word Bible reading plan. With just 10 to 15 minutes each day, you will have read the entire Bible in just 2 years. But most importantly, you'll be abiding in him daily, living in his joy and peace in these trying times. Join me on this journey through the Bible. Go to frc.org/Bible for more.
Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Good to have you with us on this Good Friday. The website is tonyperkins.com. Lots of resources there for you, including a prayer guide to encourage you as we move into Resurrection Weekend. To get a copy of that, simply text the word Sunday to 67742. That's Sunday to 67742. Well, on this Good Friday, I'm bringing you a special message from last weekend's Stand Courageous Men's Conference outside of New York City. Now, at these events, we see the Lord work in remarkable ways in the lives of the men who attend, strengthening them, challenging them to be the men that God created them to be. Well, last weekend, FRC's General, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, shared his testimony. This is part two of what he was sharing with the men last weekend. Let's listen.
In 1983, a man of God looked down in the Caribbean at a little island down there called Grenada. He saw the Russians and the Cubans were building MiG bases down there, and bases that would put all of their airplanes within range of the U.S. shores. And that man said, "Not on my watch and not in my hemisphere," and it was Ronald Reagan. And he told us to go down there and to take that island away from the Russians and the Cubans and to bring them home. Bring home any Americans that were down there, and there was a medical school down there with a bunch of Americans, and we got them. So we got ready to launch that operation, and when we got ready to launch that operations, one of those non-commissioned officers that had been in that burning wreckage at night, he came up to me, and he got right up in my face, and he said, "Major Boykin, we ain't launching this thing until you pray." I said, "Yeah, I'm going to do that." I got up on the loading dock. Everybody got it together, put our arms around each other, and we just began to pray and said, "God, in the name of Jesus, go with us, keep us safe, bring us home, and give us victory in Jesus' name." We sang, "God Bless America." The next morning, I was sitting in the right troop door of a Black Hawk helicopter. And it's the first time we used Black Hawks in combat, and we were flying out of Barbados. I was sitting there with my legs out in the breeze. I got my AR right here. I got my magazine stacked up. We were ready to fight. We knew we were going to have to fight for our target. Our target was a prison called Richmond Hill Prison, and the target was where they had put all the political prisoners, and we were supposed to break them out and get them back into the offices they were elected to. And as we came across the jungle, people were just down there waving and waving and waving, and I can just feel the breeze in my face. This is going to be a good day. And then we came up on Richmond Hill Prison, and the skies erupted. Red tracers and green tracers. And, man, they were hammering us with these 50 cal machine guns. They were actually anti-aircraft guns. And they hammered us, man. And I could hear a popping sound. And the popping sound was actually going through the rotor blades. It was those 50 cals going through the rotor blades. And then all of a sudden, as we were jinking and jiving, trying to get in and settle in on the target, wham, wham, I knew I'd been hit. And I didn't realize how bad it was at the time. But so we went around and tried it again, got shot out again. We had 54 holes in our helicopter, and it was still flying. You think that's not a miracle? God loves the warrior. God loves a warrior. So we made a couple of circles and couldn't get out. And now I'm sitting here. I am literally bleeding out because I'd been hit right up through the armpit. And there's a lot in your armpit that needs to be protected. What I realized was if I don't get off of this helicopter and get to medical aid, I'm going to die, because I could tell I was bleeding out. And you know when you start, because you start losing your energy, you start losing your eyesight and everything when you're bleeding out and your blood's getting low. And so they didn't know what to do with me, so they turned around. They flew out across the ocean there for a couple of miles, and there was a U.S. carrier out there. They went in and landed on the carrier. They took me in, took me to surgery. And then they put me on a plane and sent me back to Fort Bragg, right straight into surgery. I came out of surgery in the recovery room. I said delivery room one time, and so I hesitate. I have to get this right. Anyhow, I woke up and they said, "Well, sir, you have a really serious injury. You've got shrapnel and bullet fragments all in you, and if you don't, if you're not careful, it'll kill you." They wanted to take my arm off. Well, there was about a zero chance that was going to happen. And I said to them, I said, "You just do the best you can." I said, "I've been talking to God, and He told me that if I will trust Him, He will heal me." And they all said, "Oh, you have such a good attitude." No. There's the arm they wanted to take off. When I still played golf. Yeah. When I still played golf, I could play golf with it. I lift weights with it. In fact, when I up till about the age of 60, I used to take my wife to the gym on my birthday every year. And I'd take her in, I'd rack up 300 pounds, and then I'd bench press that 300 pounds, and she would just squeal with delight. She takes in stray dogs, too, so don't be real impressed.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. That's Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin giving his testimony at last weekend's Stand Courageous Men's Conference just outside of New York City. Powerful, powerful words. You know, nothing can replace the value of men standing courageously as God has called them to do. All right, by the way, as Resurrection Sunday approaches, I'd like to invite you to celebrate with FRC by downloading our free prayer guide. Now, this week only, we'll also send you the chronological story of Christ's passion. To download these resources, text the word Sunday to 67742. That's Sunday to 67742. All right, after the break, more of General Jerry Boykin's powerful testimony at last weekend's Stand Courageous Men's Conference. That's coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Tech censorship is on the rise. Big tech companies are attempting to cancel conservatives and Christians, which is why here at Family Research Council, we've decided to be proactive so that big tech cannot silence us completely. FRC has a text subscription platform to be sure we can continue to keep you in the loop. That way, you can still find updates on faith, family, and freedom. You can get FRC's content straight to your phone. Just sign up for our text alerts by texting STAND to 67742. Again, you simply text STAND to 67742, and FRC will send you special alerts on the issues that matter to you. By subscribing, you'll also be one of the first to know about our upcoming events and programs. All of this info is yours with just a simple text. You'll have access to content that will help you continue to stand for faith, family, and freedom, and you'll know about opportunities to connect with like-minded communities. Just text STAND to 67742 and be the most informed person you know.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Welcome back to a special Good Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Good to have you with us. The website, tonyperkins.com. Be sure and check it out. Also, we have a special prayer guide as we move into Resurrection Sunday. You can text Sunday to 67742. That's 67742. So on this Good Friday, I'm bringing you a special edition of Washington Watch. We're actually listening to General Boykin's testimony at last weekend's Stand Courageous Men's Conference just outside of New York City. And it was a powerful testimony. I've heard it many times, but it still stirs me to hear how God worked in his life. And as a result, we see him working in the lives of others through our own testimonies. Powerful, powerful event last weekend. Dozens of men giving their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pick up where we left off with General Jerry Boykin.
At any rate, 1989, President sent us into Panama to take that away from a notorious warlord, and you know him as Manuel Noriega, drugger, Satan worshiper. Before we launched the operation, I stood up on the platform and I began to pray and ask God to go with us. Before we got out of that hangar we were in, And then we sang God Bless America, and we launched that operation. I was running the first operation. The first operation was to get a man named Kurt Muse, who was an American that had been caught by Noriega's people broadcasting anti-Noriega propaganda with equipment that came from the CIA. They caught him. They locked him up. So our job was to get him out of this prison. That was the first assignment. George H.W. Bush said, get him out first and bring him home. We came out across the canal there, and just as soon as we got over the canal and started rising men, I'm telling you, they opened up on us, and it was just like before. We were getting hammered. We were just getting hammered. And we finally dropped down as low as we could, and I was in the command and control bird, but the little birds went right in on top of the building there, blew a hole in the top of the prison, went down to the third level, found Kurt Muse's cell, blew his cell door off, and brought him out and put him in a little bird and took off. And when they took off, they started getting hit with all kinds of stuff. And they got hit in the hydraulics. Wham! They smacked right down into the street. One guy got hit in the leg. One guy got hit in the chest. Another guy got hit in the head by the rotor blades when he jumped out to run. And he's still a little goofy, you know. And then another guy, the helicopter landed on his foot, and he had to cut off three of his own toes. But I'm here to tell you, we got Kurt Muse out of there, and every one of those men went back to full duty, and the guy that cut his toes off ran a half marathon 6 months later. I'm telling you, God loves a warrior. God loves a warrior. And then in 1993, Bill Clinton sent us into a place called Mogadishu, Somalia. And you know it as Black Hawk Down. There was a notorious warlord down there named Muhammad Faria Adid. He was a Satan worshiper also. And Adid had, him and his militia had killed 22 Pakistani peacekeepers just a few days before we got the word to launch. And they were, the United Nations was furious when he killed the peacekeepers because they were just trying to feed hungry people. So he told us to go in there and to get Muhammad Adid and bring him to justice in The Hague. I got off that airplane there on the airfield in Mogadishu with my troops, and I felt the presence of evil. Now, I know some of you are going to look, you're one of those. Huh? Yeah. You see Satan behind every bush. No, I understand what Satan is. I understand Satan is real. And you just talk to a missionary that's been to Haiti or any of those places where witchcraft is practiced, and they will tell you, you can feel the presence of evil. And by the way, guys, for those of you who don't think that you've ever felt the presence of evil, you probably have and didn't know what it was. But when you know you're in an evil place, you need to beware of the fact that you are in an evil place where Satan abounds, and the people there really worship Satan more than they do God. So I got off the airplane, and I said to my little chaplain, I said, "Chaplain, Steve, I don't care where you do it. Set up some place where you can preach the gospel. I want every one of these men to have a chance to hear the gospel."
All right, you're listening to a special Good Friday edition of Washington Watch, and that is our very own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin speaking at last weekend's Stand Courageous Men's Conference at Liquid Church in Parsippany, New Jersey, just outside of New York City. A powerful message for the men at the conference who are, many of them, just looking for the path to be courageous men that God has designed them to be. And they just need to be encouraged. And one of the aspects of this men's conference that is so powerful is the blessing. When a blessing is spoken over the lives of these men, it's life-changing. It absolutely is. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over, and check out other resources for Stand Courageous events that are coming up. All right, after the break, we're going to hear the conclusion of General Boykin's testimony. Don't go away.
The Lord reigns. Let America rejoice. From coast to coast, let justice reign, peace reign, righteousness reign. Lord, let it rain. May the clouds of blessings gush and rain down upon us. Yet even in the clouds, we see the light of your face. Make your face shine on these states, we pray. We pray, and then we work. We work in the strength you provide. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Strengthen our hands to do all to God's glory. Whether we eat or drink or vote, everything is holy, so we vote to God's glory. We vote because we can. We vote because we love our nation. We vote because we love our people. The people rejoice when the righteous rule, but when the wicked rule, the people mourn. Adorn our land with oaks of righteousness. Place men, place women, place those in authority who know their place, who know that they are under authority. Men and women who will stand for the true, for the good, for a more beautiful America. But how can they stand if we don't stand? We must stand. Lift us up. Help us stand. Raise us to that summit, which is yourself. For those you raise to that summit, do not fall. You are able to keep us from falling. Until that day when we do fall, fall before your throne, where our King reigns now. Now, let us rejoice and pray, vote, stand. Amen.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Welcome back to a special Good Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So good to have you with us. Be sure and check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. And as we approach Resurrection Sunday, I'd like to invite you to celebrate with FRC by downloading our free prayer guide. Now, this week only, we'll also send you the chronological story of Christ's passion for a gift of any size. So to download these resources, text the word Sunday to 67742. That's Sunday to 67742. And again, let me say thank you for tuning in to today's special Good Friday program. Well, to close out today's special edition, here is the final portion of FRC Executive Vice President General Jerry Boykin's testimony, which he shared last weekend at a Stand Courageous Men's Conference just outside of New York City.
Well, the gospel. Yes, sir. I said, then you set it up and start preaching the gospel. I want them to hear it. So he went and put him some orange crates up and got his crucifix up here, and he did all kinds of stuff, and he started preaching, and men would come and go. Men would come and go. Sometimes they'd stay for the whole sermon. Sometimes they'd only stay for a few minutes. But they were the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ was there. It was with them. And then we got the word to start launching operations, and this is my autobiography. I'll be signing these outside and anything else here, but inside this book, there's a picture of me with a bullhorn. I'm talking to and praying with 450 guys with the bullhorn. So we prayed. And then we sang God Bless America, and we started launching operations. We went into that city six times. You only see one, really, in the movie Black Hawk Down. But we went in there six times. And I'm telling you, not with any great pride or sentiment, we killed a lot of Somalis. If they stood and fought, we killed them. They'd get high on this thing called cot. It's a narcotic, and then you couldn't tell what they were going to do. They would just act crazy. At any rate, and then finally on the 3rd of October, it was my mother's birthday. I wanted to do everything I could to try and at least speak to my mother on her birthday. But we started getting intelligence that some of Adid's men were his senior leaders, as a matter of fact, were holding a a meeting down in the Bakara Market. It was the center of the militia, and it was the one place that we had avoided and did not want to go into in our previous six operations. We didn't want to go in there. It was Indian country. It was bad. So, but we got the word that that's where they were having the meeting, and we were to go in there and capture as many of them as we could. So we got ready to launch that operation. I got out of my seat in the Joint Operations Center, and I got down on my knees where everybody could see, and I said, "Father, in Jesus' name, would you protect us in this evil place? Would you protect these men, God, in the name of Jesus?" I got up, sat down in my chair, reached over, grabbed the mic. I keyed it up, and the code word to launch was Irene. I said, "Irene, Irene, Irene." And men started running out to the airfield, jumping into the helicopter with all their gear on, and they were getting ready to boogie. They knew they were going into a tough fight. And 15 minutes after I said, "Irene, Irene, Irene," 100 Americans were locked in a battle for 15 hours with wild-eyed, drug-crazed Somalis, thousands of them, in the streets of Mogadishu. And at the end of that 15 hours, 15 of my soldiers were dead. 15 of my soldiers were dead. And I was brokenhearted. My most vivid memory of Mogadishu is a 5-ton truck coming back in onto the airfield. Airfield was where our base was. And I knew what was in that truck. And I knew I had to go over there and drop the tailgate, but I didn't want to because I knew what was in there. I walked over there with my heart about to burst out of my chest as I was saying, "God, where were you? God, where were you? Where were you?" And I walked over and I dropped that tailgate. And when I dropped that tailgate, the blood poured out the back like water. I smelled that copper smell of the blood of my own soldiers, and I was broken. I was broken emotionally and spiritually. And I just said, "God, where were you? Where were you, God?" The dead were on the bottom and the wounded were on top. Is the most depressing thing I've ever seen. And that we got our wounded and dead evacuated. And that night I went over and sat down on my bunk. Sat down before God. I wanted to talk to him. No, I didn't really want to talk to him. I wanted to air my complaints with him. And that's the fact. I was angry with him. I was angry with God. And I said, "God, where were you? God, where were you? Didn't you hear my prayers?" And then the answer came to me. There is no God. There's no God. And I didn't come all the way up here to New Jersey to tell you there's no God, but I just want you to understand that's what I said. I said there's no God. But the moment I said there's no God, I heard for the second and last time in my life, I heard the audible voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "If there's no God, there's no hope." And I began to weep. My chest started heaving as I was saying, "God, I am so sorry that I'm so sorry that I denied you. God, I'm so sorry." And keep in mind, there's a guy named Peter in the Bible that walked with him for 3.5 years and watched him open blind eyes, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. And then he sat by a fire and denied him 3 times. But the book of Acts says that same Peter went on to preach a sermon that won 3,000 people to the kingdom of God. And I just I must tell you, I just was in a real dilemma there because I was hurting so bad emotionally, but I just needed something to comfort me. I know God had said if there's no God, there's no hope, and I understand that, and I accept that. But I don't understand. So I said, Lord, I don't understand. And I said, I'm going to open this Bible, and wherever I open this Bible, you give me something. And I opened this Bible. I just opened it. I didn't look it up. You know what I opened it to? Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Right? Proverbs 3:5. We're not capable of understanding all the things of God. We don't understand. And you won't until you get to heaven. And then you can ask him about it if it still matters to you. You know? But so the next day we had a little ceremony for our dead, and we played taps and the national anthem, et cetera, et cetera. That night when the sun went down, I'm standing there talking to two of my soldiers, and my master sergeant and my lieutenant colonel, they're standing there. I'm not getting that close to that thing again. Anyhow, they're standing here talking to me, and all of a sudden there was an explosion right there, that close, explosion. And I didn't realize it, but it was a mortar. Four mortars were fired. Three went over us and went out into the ocean, and one landed right there. And all of a sudden, there was this big explosion, and I went down, and I knew I'd been hit. And as I came to, people told me that I had been knocked out for a minute. I can't confirm that, but anyhow, I stood up. I got up and I stood up, and I looked down, and my master sergeant was dead. His brains were on the tarmac there. And my lieutenant colonel was laying over here screaming, my legs, my legs, my legs. And I was filled with shrapnel in both of my legs, and I could hardly stand. And I just said, God, no more. God, no more. I can't take any more. What does the Bible say about that? It says he'll never give you more than you can handle, right? Just keep that in mind when you say, I just don't know what to do. Let me tell you something. If anybody in here has had as a year like I have had here, where I have been in a spiritual battle all the time, but you know what? You know what my reward is for hanging on and getting through these battles? It's being here with you today. It's being here doing ministry. So they took us over to the hospital, the UN hospital, which was a tent, and they operated on me there that night, they took me back down to the airfield the next day where our base was, and I said, just put me down there with my soldiers. I couldn't walk except on crutches, so I crutched myself over to my bunk, and I just sat down on my bunk and I just said, Father, in Jesus' name, I just really need to hear from you. I just need something from you. Somebody came up about that time and said, sir, I've got a facsimile for you. I looked at it. It was a facsimile that started in Loveland, Colorado by the guy that founded the Dollar Rental Car Company. He was a wonderful Christian brother, and I loved him, and he had sent me this facsimile. And I looked at this facsimile. You know what it says? Huh? For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait upon the Lord. That is not something that we as men do very, very well. But wait upon the Lord. But it was the Lord speaking to me. It was the Lord giving me instructions. And God will talk to you. If you'll open yourself up to the reality that he will talk to you, he will talk to you. It's a lot of times it's that still, small voice. Sometimes it's another person, or for me, it's the word. Okay? So, at any rate, I want you to think about this. On that hill on Golgotha, the hill of the skull, there were three crosses on that hill. Not two, not one, three. Two of them were thieves, right? And they were scoundrels. There's nothing good or redeeming about these men. And one of them mocked Jesus. He said, if you're really the Son of God, get off that cross and get us all out of here. But the other one said, don't mock him. He's an innocent man, but you and I deserve what we got. And then that man turned to Jesus and he said, Father, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, on this day, you will be with me in paradise. What that man's in paradise today with the Lord, but he never paid his tithes. He never got baptized. He never joined the church. You ought to do every one of those things as a Christian. But he didn't have that opportunity, but he's still in heaven. He's still in heaven, see.
You've been listening to a special Good Friday edition of Washington Watch. What you just heard was the conclusion of the testimony from FRC's Executive Vice President, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, which he shared last weekend at our Stand Courageous Men's Conference at Liquid Church in Parsippany, New Jersey. You know, every time I hear the general speak, as a founding member of Delta and having served 36 and a half years in our nation's military, I just love the guy, right? I just do. I feel so honored to be able to work with him. And we have a lot of fun. As a Marine veteran, he's an Army veteran, we kind of go back and forth. But every time I hear him speak, I'm reminded of the words that Jesus spoke over in John chapter 15. He said, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now listen to this. This is what gets me every time. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. That's exactly what Jesus did. And because of that, we see the transformation of lives because of the love that Jesus had in laying down his life for us to pay the penalty for our sins. And it's just a matter of accepting the forgiveness and putting on the righteousness of Jesus Christ and letting him, what he did on that cross, he took our sins and he paid the penalty for that sin so that you and I could be free from that sin. That's what Resurrection Sunday is about. That's what Good Friday is about. He took our sin, and on Sunday, he came forth out of the grave and he overcame death and the grave. And so can we if we trust him as our Lord and Savior. Thanks so much for joining me on this Good Friday, and I pray that you celebrate on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. God bless you.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.